Welcome to episode 201 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on October 16th, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure, where we discuss topics and news and how it relates to you. In this episode, Ben and Scott talk about the recently released My Tasks app in Microsoft Teams and talk through some of the configuration and settings around that, as well as talk about new services released to the Microsoft 365 Apps Admin Center. Scott, I have news that I did not tell you before we started recording.
Yeah, what's your news?
Musk lowered the price of the Tesla Model S. Did you see this?
No. You're going to get two of them now?
No. However, the new base price of the Tesla Model S is $69,420.
$69,420. That's a very precise price.
And since this is a family show, we'll just keep it right there.
Yeah. Go out and burn one. Got it.
Oh, yes. To go with the S3, X, and Y.
Too many, yeah. It was starting out so simple, and now there's just so much going on there.
There really is. That's all I got for completely unrelated cloud news. I have other friends to thank for that. I did not catch that at first, and then somebody so graciously informed me of the new price.
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
So, aside from the new price of the Tesla Model S, I also have other news. Tasks in Teams has been made generally available, which is actually, I've had it in my preview for a while, and it still has not been renamed Tasks. So supposedly now that it's GA'd, the rename from the Planner app in Teams is supposed to get updated to be Tasks in Teams. The app itself in Teams is actually really slick. I have been impressed with it, and I've been using it a fair amount just because it does start rolling up tasks from at least To Do and from Planner at this point in time. So I think we talked about this before. We're getting to that point where we can have a singular view of a lot of our tasks. I will definitely not say all of the places you can put tasks yet. But now, if you are not on a preview tenant, you should start seeing this rolling out soon to a tenant near you.
Slowly but surely, the march continues. Yeah, you too can have your tasks in an Electron app that may or may not make your computer crash on the regular. But, you know.
Mine doesn't. Did you see, completely unrelated to tasks, they're actually doing native notifications now for macOS and Windows so that Teams will adhere to the do not disturb.
About time?
Yeah, right? There's a setting, though, you do have to go turn it on. It's not like they're just going to change it so it works properly. You have to go into your settings and enable native notifications.
I mean, that would be a horrible idea if it just worked the way it was supposed to work.
Right. I just thought of that because you do start getting task notifications now and all of that in Teams. But it is a nice view. Again, you can go in and you can choose to, I was pulling it up on mine. Mine is still in denamed Planner. So it just goes out and pulls all those tasks. So if I look at it, I have my tasks from To Do. So I can go in and see tasks. I can see important ones, planned ones. I have all of my lists from To Do that will show up within the Tasks app. So I can quickly flip through any of those lists and those categories. The one I will say that I don't see within the Tasks app today is I don't have the My Day, where you can go in and like and assign a task to your day. So I think some of that AI type stuff, some of that functionality is missing from To-Do. But then underneath that, I have all of my plans from Planner, and they are grouped by team. So if I have multiple Planner plans for different channels, they're all under the same team. So I can have a client, and then I can have multiple Planner plans under that client and flip through all of those. But if I do go over to like the assigned to me, it actually pulls everything assigned to me from both Planner as well as, oh, not assigned to me. If I go to To-Do or Tasks, this doesn't always work like it claims it does too. Surprise. It should always work. I was just looking through my list. But it should, in theory, give you some views where you can pull all of your tasks from all of the locations and just get a single list of every task from both Planner and To-Do.
That's the intent. So my task should be all of your lists from the To-Do app, including any tasks that you've added through To-Do or Outlook. And then, like you said, tasks that have been assigned to you in Planner or any shared plans. So Planner plans that you have been added to one or more within a Planner plan. That is, I think it's just Planner plans that are associated with teams, not all Planner plans, but I don't have a ton of clarity on that.
That's what it looks like, because at least in mine, everything's sorted by teams. So when I look at mine, there's nowhere for a standalone Planner plan to actually live within the UI.
Yeah, it's never talked about in the documentation anywhere. Well, it says that shared plans will be there, but then specifically the text is, which includes the Planner plans that have been added to teams, which I take to mean, you know, like I said, that it's got to be a Planner plan that is associated with the team, not a standalone plan.
Yep. And you can go in. I haven't tried this. Yes. So if you go in, because down at the bottom, you can also create new tasks or new lists. If you give your list or plan a name, you can either choose to create it in My Tasks, which is going to be To-Do, or you have to choose from, I'm looking through my list. I believe I have created all of these as teams. You have to pick a team to create the new Planner plan in. So you can't just choose to create a standalone Planner plan without some team. Like you said, it could be Office 365 groups and they just label it as teams, but I'm pretty sure all of these in my list are teams and there's none that are just Office 365 groups.
Yep. So being that you manage a lot of your tasks across To-Do and Outlook and Planner plans,
yep.
Do you find that having that list view within the My Tasks app is kind of a beneficial or transformative thing for you? Because that should be one of the biggest differences there, because you can still go to To-Do and manage your to-dos and To-Do, or you can go to Planner and manage your things over there. But my understanding was by bringing them to lists, now you can do things like view all of your tasks through that column list, which is something you can only do in the Tasks app and not through the To-Do app, right? For to-do items, things like that.
Well, so technically, you can also view all of your Planner tasks that are assigned to you in the To-Do app as well. So if I go into my To-Do app and I have the assigned to category, I can see all of my Planner tasks that are assigned to me in the To-Do app as well. So I at least get to roll up all of them. I will say the Tasks app in Teams is far better in that the To-Do app, it's just a monstrous list. And if I look like at the little text underneath,
there's no filtering or sorting.
Right.
And
yeah. I can see which Planner plan it's associated with, but I can't just go into a single Planner plan from within To-Do, where the Tasks app in Teams has exponentially more functionality when it comes to drilling through everything, sorting through everything, giving me like the board view. I can still pull up the board view of a Planner plan in the Tasks app. So for me, I don't really use the To-Do app anymore. I am trying to retrain my brain to do everything in Teams, to use that to open files that I'm working on for clients, to track all of my tasks, to keep track of all my tasks. I have all my chats in there, using it for the calendar. Instead of always jumping between four or five different apps, just stick right in Teams for all of my work, aside from replying to emails. Which, to be fair, I don't actually... That is not me asking for emails to be in Teams. I would prefer to keep those separate. My two cents.
Yeah. It's interesting how we got to this place, right? You're at the point now where you can plan your to-dos in Planner, in Teams with the My Tasks app.
Yes. So, I mean, this is really going towards what I have said before, that I feel like Teams has some unique functionality. The calling, the chat, the meetings, all of that is native Teams app. But in another respect, Teams is just the new browser to get to all of my Office 365 stuff. Instead of having multiple tabs, I just go to Teams and get to all of it through there.
Brave new world. Here we go. Now you just need to wait for not only parity across Teams on the web and the desktop, but the mobile app as well.
So that is my biggest struggle with tasks right now, is now I need to do something completely different than I want to use on my desktop for my mobile app. I need to use the Planner app. I need to use the To-Do app. They have said tasks is coming to the mobile app, but I have yet to see it. Although, to be fair, I'm not on the Teams test flight. And if anybody from Microsoft is listening that has the ability to get me onto the Teams test flight, I would really appreciate it, because you are currently the only one that is not, I'm not test flighting. And it makes me kind of sad that that's the only Microsoft app I'm not in the test flight for.
If only there was room in dog food for Ben.
I know. So Teams, you're left out.
Sometimes you don't want to be on that stuff. Like, I'm on the beta version of Outlook. So there's various programs, right? There's test flight for effectively like public betas.
Yep.
And then there's internal ones as well. And sometimes the internal ones are crashy. So like Outlook on my iPad or my phone may or may not work on any given day. So sometimes you don't want to be on like the dog food builds. And the annoying thing is, like, if you're signed in, you constantly get like banners and all the apps that say, hey, would you like to try the super cutting edge version of this? And you can hit no occasionally, but then the banner always just pops up. So finally for Outlook, I broke down and
you hit yes.
Not my finest moment, but
I had that for a while with the OneDrive test flight build, where like every time I would switch to a different app, it would crash. And it wouldn't crash once, like for whatever reason, it must have crashed like 20 times. So I'd get all the annoying pop-ups. Do you want to send feedback? Do you want to send feedback? And I'd have to just like sit here, tap, 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 like 20 times to get it to finally clear all of the crashes that it somehow cascaded through. And yeah, but we digress.
We do. So you want to keep talking about tasks? Because there's a way to turn off my tasks.
There is. I saw this. Stephen Kallier tweeted about this last night. And I had to go find the documentation so I didn't spread fake news.
Yeah.
So you, Scott, hear about how do I turn this off?
And you go, well, this sounds super interesting, but maybe I don't want to have a given user in my organization experiencing, you know, some of this chaos that's, you know, all of a sudden tasks are hanging out together across apps.
So you want to give them Trello to manage their tasks instead of the tasks app.
Sure.
Sorry. Okay. I'm digressing.
If I wanted to have a Kanban board that worked, yes, I would give them Trello. Ooh, burn.
Remember who writes your check, Scott. Be nice.
All right. So
anyways.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT.
That's cloudIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
If you want to disable the My Tasks for an individual user, and not even disable it, what you can do is you can hide it. So to hide it and perform this action, you would simply remove the user's Exchange Online license.
Oh, so now, it's just a click of a button. I just have to uncheck a checkbox.
It's just a click of a button. Now, of course, there are always caveats to all these things. Like, you know, it's kind of important that one recognize that there are certain pieces of data beyond whether the My Tasks app is visible or not in Teams that may or may not be associated with a user's mailbox. So you get rid of a user's mailbox, you know, it's held for 30 days. After that, it just kind of like goes away and can't be recovered. So this may not be the action that you want to take.
So there's what you're saying is there's side effects to hiding the My Tasks in Teams.
On an individual user basis, yes.
Yes. So
I just want to be clear there. Like, we're not talking about My Tasks all up across your org at the user level.
I mean, you could do it all up across your org, just take away everybody's mailboxes. Because we're moving to a Teams-only world, right? Where we just do everything in chat and we don't need mailboxes. And there's no Teams functionality that would be inhibited other than tasks by taking away an Exchange license, right? Or might we cause other issues besides just hiding My Tasks if you take away an Exchange license and people are using Teams?
You will certainly likely cause other issues. I only call that out because it is possible to turn off tasks for the organization. Like, you can block it at the org level.
Oh, that's right. There is a disable there.
Yeah, versus individual users. So like, there's a level of specificity there between tenant versus per user entitlement. But the interesting thing is Exchange and Teams do have a number of interactions on the service to service level. And Microsoft itself is very forthcoming in that to have access to the full Teams experience, each and every user should be enabled for Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, and Microsoft 365 group creation. So there is that, right? Weird little things like that.
And it's not just like phrased lightly. It is, and I don't have the exact phrasing here, but you read it to me earlier, is to have the full experience, an Exchange license is required for every user. Not saying to get a partial experience, you don't need it, but it's like, I mean, they do a decent job at making this really clear that, you know what, if you're going to do Teams, you really, really should have Exchange Online.
Yep. Here's that wording. So Microsoft Teams works with several Microsoft 365 and Office 365 services to provide users with rich experience. That should say like with a rich experience, but I'll put in the PR for that later. To support this experience, you need to enable certain features or services and assign licenses. Bullet one, users must be assigned an Exchange Online license. And I will leave it at that.
Yeah. And they have, so there's an article out here, we'll link to it in the show notes, that actually says how Exchange and Microsoft Teams interact. So you can go through this entire article and actually look at all of the other ramifications that exist if you decide you do want to actually turn off Exchange Online, or there are people that are in the scenario where maybe they still have Exchange on-prem and they haven't rolled out Exchange Online yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hybrid deployments.
Right. This would also apply to that. Like, this covers, hey, this is all the stuff you don't have if you're going to try to use Teams without using Exchange Online.
Yes, which there are several things that happen along the way there. And it's not just Exchange. You know, SharePoint's involved. There's a bunch of other like tenant level initiatives that you'd want to, you know, take a look at, like, can users create groups? Do you have policies around group creation, naming conventions, you know, depending on your licensing, all those kinds of things. But it's funny sometimes, like funny, haha, when you see one article say, hey, just go ahead and turn off Exchange Online for that user. And then you go like, wait, should I actually? No, I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's people that are doing this or asking for this, or it wouldn't actually be in the documentation, but I don't know. This feels like the wrong way to go about doing that on a user-by-user level. We can move on from that one. That did strike me as funny, especially since I read it at like 11:30 last night. It struck me as even funnier because I was really tired. Other recent news, if you are on a Mac and you are using Office 2010 or Office 2016, support has ended.
It has. There's some impacts there, right?
There absolutely are some impacts here. So they don't have... Oh, here's the full article. I didn't click to the full article. There was a TechNet announcement, but they have a full article on everything you need to know about these ending. Essentially, what you need to know is you should probably stop using these and go get Office 365. This was announced back in, it looks like, April of 2017.
Correct. Yeah, we're coming up on that 3-year timeline. So, you know, if you're still using Office 2010 today, then like, good on you. And if you're not using it with Office 365, then you'll be able to march ahead to a certain degree. You just won't be getting security updates and bug fixes and things like that. But if organizationally you depend on connectivity to some of these services, like say Outlook groups or, you know, your Exchange Online mailbox, things like that, you are going to have to get up to a more modern version of Office. So Office 2016 there, like Office 2016 can connect to Office 365 services still, or at least as of October 2020 when we're recording this.
Well, and they even say that in this article is... The requirements for connecting to Office 365 services have changed. Customers will now need Microsoft 365 apps, which is essentially license the desktop version of Office through Office 365, Office 2019, or Office 2016 to connect to your Office 365 services like Exchange Online, SharePoint Online. They're not taking any active measures to block legacy versions of Office, i.e. Office 2010.
Or 2013, yeah.
Right. But these older clients will fall out of step with the service enhancements, and there may start to just be performance and reliability issues as certain improvements are made to the online services and the desktop versions are not kept up to date.
Yeah. Stuff's changing on the authentication side, and that's probably one of your biggest impacts to some of those legacy client apps being able to connect. So like deprecation of TLS 1.0 and 1.1 in Office 365, things like that could
even some of the things the browsers are doing now are starting to mess with authentication.
A little bit here and there.
Just a touch. So yeah, no more security updates. The 2016 one is interesting, right? Because doesn't Microsoft typically say they'll keep doing security updates for 10 years? Isn't that usually like mainstream support ends after 5 and then...
I don't know if it's the extended? Same on the Mac. If it's the same on the Mac versus...
Is that just
Windows
that the whole 5 and 10 year life cycle applies to?
Yeah.
That was the only thing that was interesting there to me, was that 2016 is... I mean, I guess it's 4 years old. It could be reaching 5 years because sometimes that actually hits a little before the year that it was labeled.
Yeah. I thought this one was funny because this morning I got an email from one of my children's technology teachers that they're about to start learning Word in their ICT class. And the email specifically states that even though all the students in the county we live in are licensed for Office 365 and they have rights to install it on their home PCs, that the version of Word that you can install through your Office 365 license on a Mac will not be valid for the class because it's not the full version. It's like, huh? I found that one to be funny.
Did you email him back and ask what version is it if it's not the full version?
Yeah. You know, some battles are just not worth fighting in that case. So I'll just make sure that neither of my kids tells their teacher that they do a lot of their homework from their iPads. Word, PowerPoint, Excel.
Yeah, you better not tell the teacher that they're not even using a computer. They're using a tablet to do their homework.
Yeah. Well, what is a computer? I mean... You know, like the fear, uncertainty, and doubt continues to spread.
Yes, that it does.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
So another resource, this ties hand in hand. We're tying these all together really well here, except for that segue from Teams to our Mac clients. So down at the bottom of this support for 2010 and Office 2010 and Office 2016 for Mac, they also call out a few new resources, and we'll also link to the announcement of these new resources in the Office app, the apps admin center. I had to get my admin center right. They have a couple, three new features that have rolled out in the apps admin center, which if you remember from some of our previous episodes where we talked about this, is config.office.com. They now have an apps health, a security update status, and an inventory that are all in preview that will essentially go out and collect some data, some analytics about these clients that are installed. So specifically, when you're looking at Office 2010 and Office 2016, this Office inventory feature app within your Apps Admin Center allows you to go out and look at all of the devices running Office apps within your environment, look at which client versions they're using, which Office add-ins are running, which update channel all these devices belong to, so that as you kind of make this transition and you're moving from app to app and you want to actually know what users are doing within their Office apps, primarily from adding add-ins and stuff, you can go light up this preview feature and enable it and start pulling in some of that telemetry data right into that apps admin center.
And this is like, if your clients are all talking to Office 365 or Microsoft 365, and that's how they're pulling their licensing and everything else, like this is so much nicer than the old telemetry clients that used to have to deploy. So you used to have to deploy that agent.
A SQL server.
It, like, good luck getting those GPOs to run consistently. And then all the analysis was done through like these esoteric SQL queries, or quite frankly, like some of just nasty Excel spreadsheets to figure things out. And then you never knew, like after you did a deployment, if telemetry was going to be updated or what that was going to look like, particularly if you had like remote or like transient clients that are connected to your network and not connected sometimes. And this is just like a nice to have and keep a pulse on the organization. So certainly if you do things like, you know, maybe you've like done like a customized Office installation using ODT and you've pushed out that customized config for things like where your client should pull updates from or what update channel they should be in. Now you can actually kind of verify that based on telemetry that's coming directly into your org, which is pretty cool.
Yes. And I went and enabled mine this morning because I wanted to actually see what some of the data looked like while we were recording. And I enabled it, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes ago. And I clicked to enable the preview service and got the message to please wait while we provision your service. It can take up to 10 minutes. Please refresh to see if provisioning is complete. Scott, it did not complete in up to 10 minutes. We are now up to about 40 minutes and I still have nothing other than please be patient.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I clicked the button at the same time you did. And I too am being told to be patient.
To be patient. So more updates on this coming later. It's preview. It is a virtue. Patience is a virtue. That's what I tell my kids.
Yeah. If you are looking like if it's something you're interested in and this is the first time you're hearing about it, there were some sessions at Ignite. So I'll link to the new admin capabilities to modernize Office client servicing session from Ignite, and you know, spend 30, 40 minutes and watch that, and you'll get a good idea of where things are going.
And use the link in the show notes, because the link in the article announcing this, the now available, there's an aka.ms link in there to the Ignite AAC demo. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's broken. It goes straight to the Microsoft homepage.
I'll make sure to put the full link.
So we'll put the right link in the show notes for that one. Yeah. And they do have some documentation. There's some articles out there on docs.microsoft as well. But yeah, like you said, this is definitely a nice to have as compared to the old way to grab a lot of this telemetry type data.
Yeah. A couple other updates there too. There's a servicing profile. So that's meant to help you specifically with Microsoft 365 app servicing and understanding when some of these new features are coming out, or when you might want to think about like rolling a security patch to clients, things like that. And then, like you said, that app inventory as well. And that's probably the one I'm like most interested in playing with, and it's not available in any of my tenants yet.
Apps health. Yes. Apps health is under health. Security update status is under health. Inventory is at standalone. I'll show you my tenant when I get it so you can take a peek and see what it looks like. I had something else I was going to say. Oh, this is one last completely unrelated, but it kind of ties into all these updates. It looks like the Ignite team, or all the teams that announced stuff at Ignite, got a hold of the Microsoft 365 roadmap the other day. I follow updates in the RSS feed. The other day, there were 211 additions and 98 updates to the Microsoft 365 roadmap.
I thought you were gonna have an aneurysm when you sent me that.
Oh my word. I haven't gone through the blog post yet. I'm assuming this is actually legitimately all updates and not like some refresh of the roadmap. Because the feed from the RSS feed will list out every single one. And sometimes you do see that it's like 100 of them related to like minor tweaks to the new Kredge browser. But yeah, I have not looked through all of that yet, so I can't say what all those were. But there have been a lot of updates to the roadmap over the last couple of weeks. Some really interesting ones. I'm going to try to drill through that. Maybe we can cover some of what's been added in a future episode.
Yeah.
That we find interesting. But for now, I will let you go. It's Friday. I have some work to do. I have some presentations to get ready for. I am presenting to a client in Europe. We are going to have to see how recording goes that week, Scott. I am teaching from 3:30 a.m. until 10 a.m.
Yep, that would be... You're talking to somebody in London. Got it.
Yes. So we will see how that goes in a couple of weeks. But for now, go enjoy your Friday, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.